This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome to a Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I am Lori Baranski. We have Andy Hart and Paul Perillo today. The day after the first game. Today is August 8th. What is going on today, Andy?
Well, the players are off, but as always, the PFW boys are hard at work to break down the roster. And Lori's right. We finally have some game action to talk about. And we'll talk about those roster ramifications from that game action later in the podcast. But as we always do, we take you through all the moves of the last week. And I'll start with August 2nd, when the Patriots removed a trio of players from PUP. Ellis Hobbs, Bo Rude, and Wes Welker activated, practiced to varying degrees over the last week. Although none of the three performed in the preseason opener last night. They were on the sideline with jerseys on, but did not play. August 2nd, the team also signed veteran offensive lineman Barry Stokes to fill the void left when they placed veteran offensive lineman Anthony Clement on injured reserve. And we'll move on to August 4th when they signed another veteran offensive lineman, John Wellborn. An experienced guy, 9-10 years of experience with the Chiefs and the Eagles at both guard and tackle. To make room, they released defensive lineman Chris Norwell, who Paul Perillo was a big fan of. And then August 5th, the team removed Mike Vrabel from the PUP list. So all of those moves, Paul, I know you're very interested in the offensive line, so I'll just throw that out quick before we move to game action. Another couple veteran tackles they bring in or versatile veteran offensive linemen. What's your take on the entire situation that has been a bit fluid up front this summer?
The reason that I'm interested in the offensive line is because of the nature of the guys that Belichick has decided to sign. Barry Stokes and more recently, help me out,
John Wellborn. I just said it. You weren't listening.
No, I was listening, but I can't remember all of the names sometimes because I get old, and sometimes the names escape me. But the experience level that those guys have, 9-10 years in the league, versatility playing guard, tackle, starting experience, not just, developmental prospects, but starting guys, to me, tells me that maybe Belichick is a little bit concerned about at least the depth of the guys up front and more, of more concern, possibly even maybe, the starters. And Matt Light has been out of action for a long time now, Andy. Not sure what the situation is there with him, but he hasn't practiced in well over a week. So I don't know who they expect to be ready to go when the games start for real.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see whether this is one of those training camp issues that you get a lot of bodies moving around and it makes for difficult practice and preseason work, or if it does linger into the regular season with guys like Light and certainly Neal, you'd have to think at some point, really, you start to worry about him being ready for the start of the regular season. But it'll be an interesting spot to keep an eye on because, quite frankly, the offensive line did not perform last night in any of the groupings, whether it was the first unit with some of those different guys in there, the second unit, all the different variations. They struggled a bit. I think that actually cut down on the performances by the quarterbacks, by the running backs. Lawrence Maroney didn't have a great night.
I agree.
There was definite trickle-down effect. But some of the other areas where we can talk about roster spots, cornerback, a little bit limited. They didn't have a lot of numbers to work with. And linebacker, they didn't have a lot of numbers to work with, as a lot of the veterans either didn't play or played a few snaps and then left. But talk about the rookies looking to make the roster and the positive things they did last night against the Raiders.
Yeah, the good news there is exactly what you said, Andy. Pierre Woods, third-year guy, started, played a lot of the game last night, really from start to finish. Made plays throughout. He was noticeable with the starters. He was noticeable with the second stringers. He was noticeable in the second half with the third and fourth stringer guys out there. Obviously at the top of the list for us because we've been really excited about these guys all camp. Gerard Mayo starting at inside linebacker, really making an impact, really showing his speed, his coverage abilities, his athleticism was at on display. Terrence Wheatley, as you said, Andy, not a lot of cornerbacks out there, so he got a lot of run as well. Didn't really notice him.
Right.
Which that's a good thing for a cornerback when you're not really noticing him.
Ironically, we did notice Fernando Bryant.
It was Fernando Bryant. The first drive of the game, three straight passes, all of them for first downs, I believe. They were all pretty sizable gains. 21
and he had a
yards.
Sizable cushion.
Yeah. So they were going at Bryant and not Wheatley. He performed well. I think the most encouraging thing And I should mention Sean Crable as well, who came in after kind of being a little quiet, I thought, during the camp practices, made a bunch of plays. So I think that's the number one thing I took out of last night's game.
We always talk about the positive and the negative here on the Roster Report
podcast.
Well,
you do, because that's your nature.
To cover the spectrum, we need to move on to backup quarterback, where all three guys got to throw the ball. Tom Brady was in uniform but did not play. Matt Castle was obviously the first out of the gates. Struggled a little bit, 1 for 4, threw an interception on a miscommunication with Chad Jackson. But I didn't think any of the three really distinguished themselves, and I really thought the offensive line had something to do with that, but you didn't have any of those guys look like ready to step in and play in a regular season game.
I think that's exactly the way I would put it. None of those guys really instilled much confidence that, you know, in a disaster kind of situation, they could kind of hold the fort. I thought there was something. Matt Castle didn't play a whole lot, first of all, but when he was out there, he was thoroughly ineffective. The offense did not move at all. He only threw 4 passes. They just didn't look like they were in sync. They had some penalties. They had he rolled out on a play and slipped down and got sacked. So things didn't go well at all. Gutierrez, I think, you know, at least showed some flashes. There were some plays there. But again, not the consistency I think that you would be looking for in just a really, really bad interception late in the first half, where he was under pressure, tried to force one. They were already well within field goal range, probably a throw that he needs to think better of. Throwing the ball away in that situation is what he needed to do. So there was some negatives there as well. And, you know, for O'Connell, I think that's about what you expect. I thought he made some plays, showed his athleticism. I actually think he looked better in the game than he's looked on the practice field. I thought, you know, 2 throws late in the game that really impressed me. One on the sideline to Ray Ventrone out of the end zone, where he was really under a lot of pressure. Didn't panic, scrambled out and made a play. And the 4th down play to end the game, he put right on the numbers, you know, across the middle to C.J. Jones. Unfortunately, it bounced off of C.J. Jones' chest and was picked off. So it didn't end as well as he would have thought. But I agree with your overall assessment right off the top, Andy. The backup quarterback situation right now is very much in flux.
Who are we to say? But the general reaction coming out of last night's game seems to be that Matt Castle, his time in New England may be coming to an end. And I'm talking about media members in the press box, right on down through people that work here at Gillette Stadium and work in various departments. The general reaction is he's gone. It's too bad. He's a really nice guy, but he doesn't look like he can play in the NFL. Whether that's true or not, we'll find out in a couple of weeks. I would probably tend to side towards that is going to be true, and he may not end up making the roster. A tie-in there.
I'm not closing the book just yet.
I've closed it. The book is closed, and I shipped it back to the library because it was past due, and I owed a fine on it. One side note, Chad Pennington is no longer with the New York Jets. Mentioned of late, would the Patriots have interest? Looks like there's going to be a decent amount of teams
evidently
involved.
Evidently have already expressed interest.
I got to think someone else will offer more money and more of a chance to play. But
I'm sure Bill will be asked about that at his conference call later on this afternoon.
We will keep an eye on that, as always. And a couple other just tidbits. Chad Jackson, maybe another book that might be returning to the library, had a terrible game last night. Paul, talk about it.
Well, I think that what we've seen all summer, Andy, is the quarterbacks talking to him after a rep and seemingly upset about where he was. Now, you're not on the field, you don't hear the conversations, and you don't know for sure who's at fault. But when Tom Brady's involved, and it's a quarterback talking to a receiver, and the hand gestures about where you're cutting in, or they expect you to settle down in a soft area of a zone, I'm going to go with Tom Brady. And that's happened all summer. Last night, he's running sort of a slant, you know, by the hash mark down the seam, and the ball goes behind him and gets picked off. It looked to me, you know, the way Castle was gesturing to Jackson afterward, that the ball probably should have been thrown on the back shoulder, and Jackson's supposed to stop and set there. We saw Troy Brown catch that pass about 400 times in his Patriots career. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if he doesn't know his assignments. I don't know if he doesn't run the routes the way they're supposed to when he gets out there, if he just kind of runs around and tries to use his athleticism. He also dropped a couple of catchable balls last night in traffic. Even though they wouldn't have been big gains, I thought he kind of heard the footsteps. Not a very strong debut in the preseason. We thought this was going to be a big time for him because he hasn't been healthy at this time of year yet as a Patriot. So far, it's not coming to fruition.
And that's another area we'll keep an eye on in the next couple of weeks, the bottom of the wide receiver depth chart. Randy Moss did not play. Wes Welker did not play. Jabbar Gaffney played a little bit.
Made a nice catch.
Didn't have a lot of significant action. Kelly Washington did not play. Sam Aiken actually got banged up. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on how
Aiken
that transpires.
Aiken and Tank Williams, you know, in terms of the roster, we probably should mention that. They both had knee injuries, and neither one of them returned. Didn't get any official word about either one of them. But I kind of got the impression, Andy, that those two injuries might be fairly significant.
I got that impression, too, watching television, a replay when the trainer told Bill Belichick about one of them. He did not appear happy. But that's just me reading on TV like fans can do at home.
That was after the Tank Williams one.
And Matthew Slater, one final guy, the superstar in the making as a kick returner.
Boy, you just fall in love with guys you write about, don't you?
Just an okay start, I thought. A couple short returns early. Had a nice one where he got it past, you know, 35-yard line with a nice shot off right side there. But he admitted he has a lot to learn. It was a lot faster than practice when guys are going three-quarter speeds and he can break it. But I thought a decent first step, and we'll see as the preseason goes on if he can carve out a spot for himself in that role.
Sure. The athleticism is obviously there.
Roster reports have finally reached the time where we're talking about game action and whether guys are going to make it or break it over the next three preseason contests. We'll find out, and we'll be here to tell you about it. Back to Lori.
Thank you, guys. Join us again next week for a new Roster Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. I can't get no relief.